I'd like to look at a scripture over in Leviticus, the 10th chapter. And at the beginning of the chapter, it talks about Nadab and Abihu, two of the sons of the priest of Aaron, that took fire and put it in their censers and offered offerings to the Lord, and God sent fire down and destroyed it.
That's right.
Because God said it was strange fire. It was strange fire. They offered an offering that He had not called for.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get the fire off the altar where the worship was. But they offered strange fire before the Lord, and He sent fire down and consumed them. The Lord is very particular today, I believe, in how that He is to be worshipped.
Yes.
Jesus made it plain that He is to be worshipped in spirit and in truth.
Yes.
Because God is a spirit. So, I'd like to skip on down then to the 8th verse.
What chapter?
The 10th chapter of Leviticus. Thank you, brother. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. And it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. Now, it said the Lord spoke unto Aaron, who was the high priest. It said, when you go in to do service unto me, to worship me, he said, don't drink any wine or strong drink. And what he told him there was that it would be a statute, or that was something, he said, that would be forever throughout all your generations. Aaron was the high priest. Now, Peter says in 1 Peter 2 and 5, that you and I are a holy priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
We offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ.
That's right.
So the way I interpret the scripture is that even into this generation, this day that you and I are living in, that we are kings and priests, the Bible says, and that we are to take this charge also.
Yeah.
This is a charge to you and I today. Not just the preachers, but it's a charge to everyone that desires to live a holy life.
Yeah. That's right.
And why did He want them to stay away from those things? He said that you might be able to put difference between what is holy and what is unholy, and between unclean and clean. In other words, if I can say it this way, I don't want you to be drunken, because I want you to be able to discern the things that are around you. I want you to be able to discern spirits. I want you to be able to discern things that are going on in your day.
Yes.
He said, Jesus said one time, He said, how is it that you can discern the face of the sky, but you can't discern the times that we're living in? People can discern those kind of things. There's a lot of things that people can understand out there, but the things of the spirit, the things of the soul, eternal things, they don't have any discernment today. And I have to believe it's because of the drunkenness that's in people's lives today. Now, He was talking here to Aaron about drinking strong drink and wine. But Jesus said it this way, over in Luke, the 21st chapter, I believe it is, in the 34th verse. He said, take heed that you be not, that your hearts be not overcharged with surfeiting and with drunkenness and the cares of this life, lest that day come upon you unawares. You know, folks, I don't know how many in here have ever partaken of alcohol. I don't know how many in here have ever got involved in it. I'm sure there's some of you here that have, and I'm sure there's some of you here that have not. But I'm going to give you my perspective of it from someone that was in deep alcohol, had a deep alcohol problem. And here's the way it works. When I first started the drinking, it seemed like it didn't take a whole lot to make me a little woozy. Mm-hmm. It didn't take a whole lot to get me a feeling good, if that's what you want to call it. But then, after years went by, it seemed like that it took more and more. And it seemed like it just more and more before I would even feel the effect of it. I hope you get the understanding of what I'm trying to say to you this evening. Folks, we live in a time today that it seems like it's taken more and more for people to get the effect of it.
Yes, that's true.
Now, I'm sure we've all seen this in one way or another. I don't have a TV. But I've been in some of my children's houses when they've had it on. And my wife and I look at that in amazement. And we say to our children, how can you bring that kind of stuff into your home? It seems like the violence has to be more violent. And all the other things that is portrayed on that thing has to be more sexual and all those kind of things. It seems like that the world is filled up with drunkenness and the cares of life today. Now, you and I may not be partaking of those kind of things, but what about the cares of life? How is the cares of life affecting you and I? The Lord wants you and I to be able to distinguish what is holy and what is not holy. And the way that I perceive things tonight, it seems that the lines are diminishing today. The Bible even says that the day would come when they would call evil good and good evil. And folks, we're living in a time when the line has been distinguished. People are doing things and saying that it's not sin, that it's not wrong. Yet there's nothing holy about it. Yet there's nothing godly about it. But the Apostle Paul said the grace of God that brought salvation has come to all men, teaching us something. It teaches us that denying ungodliness, that we should live soberly, righteous, and godly in this present world. Kings and priests, don't drink strong drink. I want you to be able to distinguish the things that are holy and the things that are not holy. You know, I remember, I know why people drink. I know why people drink. Some people drink to forget. Mm-hmm. Try to get out of their miseries and be able to forget a little while. But I found that when you wake up the next day, they're still there. And you're not feeling so good either sometimes. Sometimes people say, well, I don't drink a lot, but I just drink to get the edge off. Just take the edge off. You know, we do live in a very stressful world, don't we? We're busy, we're stressed for time, we're running here and there, we're our jobs, our children, and family, and all the responsibilities and duties that we have. But I want to tell you tonight, in the fear of God, folks, those very kind of things can cause you to grow lean in your soul.
Yeah.
It can cause you to grow lean in your soul. Take care about those kind of things.
Yeah.
It can cause you to grow lean in your souls. The devil, it's just like him to try to make things look different to you and I. Oh, that's not so bad. Oh, there's no harm in that kind of a thing. And it's just like the devil to do that because he's trying to hide. He's trying to blind our minds or our eyes to the thing that is most important of all, and that's my soul.
Yeah.
Folks, that's where it is tonight. I've been doing a lot of thinking, consideration, thinking about eternity, thinking about an eternal end, the eternal hope that is waiting for every one of us that are ready, and the other place that is waiting for those that are not. That's a serious thing tonight. But the world is drunken on so many things, so many pleasures of the world today, so many things out there to vie for their attention, getting their minds off the things that's most important of all, and that's their souls.
Yes.
Yes.
My soul. The alcohol siphons my ability to discern. He said that you put difference between holy and unholy. And he said that we should teach God's people all the statutes what the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. I'd like to turn over in 1 Thessalonians, Paul speaking to us here. In 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, begin right at the first verse. He said, but of the times and the seasons. Brethren, I have no need that I write unto you. Ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, I hope you see this the same way I do. But if you're saved tonight, the devil doesn't like that. And he will use any little thing he can, any little way that he can, to cause you and I to be lax in our souls.
That's right.
He will do anything that he can to try to deceive you and I to believing that we're up the farther up the ladder than what we really are. You know, how can I believe that I'm farther up the ladder than what I really am? Folks, whenever the Lord pricks my conscience, and He deals with my soul, and He shows me a need that I have, and I override that, and I'm not willing to deal with that, and I try to go on, let me tell you something. You may sidestep that, so to speak, and you may go right on, and you may still have your testimony, and you may still feel like you have your joy and your peace, but until you go back and deal with where God has dealt with you, you're not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere. It's step by step that we follow the Lord. And as He deals with us, as He talks to our hearts, as He shows us ourselves. You see, sometimes there's people out there that think they're more holy than they really are. The devil was wanting to hinder God's people from being holy.
Yes.
He said, the day is going to come as a thief in the night. I don't know when it's going to be. You don't know when it's going to be. Jesus said, I myself don't know when it's going to be. But God knows. God knows when it's going to be. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. You know, there's no escaping God. We're not going to escape the judgment. We're not going to escape. Paul said we're going to give an account of the deeds done in this body, whether they be good or bad. We're not going to escape that. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that He is the Christ. Paul said that's the way it's going to be.
Amen.
At the judgment day, every man, woman that's ever been born on this earth is going to confess He is the Christ.
Yes.
Whether they believed in Him here or not, they will then. Won't be any atheists over there. It'll all be clear, but it'll be a little too late to come clear there, won't it? But he said here, but you brethren, so he's talking to us, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. We're not in darkness. You know, whenever I did a lot of my drinking, it was in darkness. It was at nighttime when I'd go out and take pleasure in those kind of things. And I do it under the cover of darkness. But you, brethren, you're not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. My desire and my burden for the church and for souls, folks, is that we are prepared and that we are ready when the Lord comes back.
Yes.
And I know we hear things like this preached a lot, but folks, it's going to take some working on our parts. Paul said, enduring hardness as a good soldier. We're living in perilous times, Paul said. In the last days, perilous times will come. Folks, these are perilous times. Look around. You see the things that are happening all over the world. There's been a lot happening in the last month over there on the other side of the world. A lot happened. Been a lot of lives lost. There's been a lot of changes in the governments and the things of countries over there. And then when we look at Japan and we see the disaster there, souls swept out into eternity by the thousands.
That's right.
My wife and I was looking at a little video of a tsunami coming in. She said, "What a mighty God." We said, folks, you know when it comes, when you come right down to it, we don't know as much as we think we do as mankind. We're not as powerful and as strong as we really think we are. God can shut down a nation, can He? He can shut it down. He can put that chemical out there in the air and He can get it in the winds and He can take it anywhere He wants to take it. Folks, do you know that God, He said that He has His way in the whirlwind? God is permitting these kind of things. Jesus said, when you see these kind of things coming, He said the earthquakes and the pestilence and the famine, these things are coming today. One seems like right after another.
Yeah.
But thank the Lord for you and I that are ready. We're just a heartbeat away from heaven.
Yeah.
Just a heartbeat away from our eternal home. But He said, you brethren, we're not in darkness, and I thank the Lord we're not.
That's right.
We are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. But let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Oh, I'll tell you, our world is just drunken on so many things.
Yes.
It seems like that you can't talk to them. They don't want to hear anything about their souls. They don't see the seriousness of it. They don't understand the gravity of eternity. They don't understand how close that it really is. They don't seem to understand, and they don't want to hear about those kind of things. They that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Someone recently spoke about squirt. I don't know if you ever heard of squirt pop. But there was a soda. But there was a soda, I don't know if they even still make it anymore, called squirt. I think it was on the line of Fresca or something like that. Or Sprite. But it was squirt. And they said that the old commercials to advertise squirt, the soda pop, said, doesn't have the image, but the taste is satisfying. And what it was referring to was, it didn't have the image that Coke and Pepsi had. Because I can say Coke and Pepsi, and everybody in here knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Everybody in here, there's an image that can come to your mind. We know what Coke and Pepsi is.
Yeah.
But he said, it's not, we don't have the image, but the taste is what's satisfying. And I want to tell you tonight, the people in the world today are so satisfied with the taste of the world and even the image of it. But I want to say this too in following. I want to say, folks, when it comes to our salvation, when it comes to us and how we serve the Lord, the image is very important. The image is very important. He said that we might be conformed to the image of of his dear Son. And folks, the image of Christ is very important to us. That is what we have portrayed to us that shows us what holiness really is.
Mm-hmm.
It's Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That's the only way we know.
Yes.
We know what holiness is because Jesus was holy.
Yes.
There was no guile found in his mouth, it said.
No.
But the idea behind the thought of thinking was, you don't have to worry about the image. That's not what's important. Just as long as it satisfies. Now here's my thought on that. If my mind is diminished and I can't discern between what's holy and what's not holy, then I can go out there and things begin to satisfy me that maybe they shouldn't be satisfying. They're satisfying flesh instead of spirit. You understand what I'm trying to say? People today out there are being satisfied with things, and there's such a drifting and a drawing today, even among us, that people want to go out and find things to satisfy. Oh, it's not so bad. There's no harm in that. May God help us that we be able to keep some discernment of what is clean and what is not clean.
Amen.
There's nothing clean about television.
Yes.
No.
Nothing clean about it. They're filthy through and through.
Yes.
There's nothing clean about going out in the nightlife for this world. There's nothing clean about the entertainment world that's out there today. Those people out there that are on the screens and in the movies and all those kind of things, the people up there in Hollywood, they don't know who they're going to be living with from 1 year or month to the next.
That's right.
There's nothing clean about it. And people buy magazines and pay $4 or $5 for a magazine to read about their lives, to see what the latest fashions are, who's put out the latest hairdo and all those kind of things. Folks, let me tell you something. The world's drunk on that stuff tonight.
Yes, amen.
Lord, help us.
Yes, yes.
God told the children of Israel back there, He said, you be holy. Why, the Lord your God is holy. God wants us to be holy.
Amen. Jesus.
Scripture says for us to be sober-minded, putting on the weapons of spiritual warfare. We're in a spiritual warfare. If you're saved tonight, endeavoring to live for the Lord, you're in a spiritual warfare.
Yes.
And you better guard your minds and your hearts. You know, I told my congregation here not all that long ago, I said, and I got some that's said they've been saved almost 50 years now. Started off in 40, so forth. And I said, you know something? Being saved a long time can be dangerous. It can be very dangerous. We must work on this salvation daily.
Yeah.
I almost cringe sometimes when I hear some of them stand up and say, well, I've been saved for 48 years and, you know, this and this, and can tell all these old stories of the times that the Lord healed them and all that. That's wonderful. That's encouraging to me. But they better be on their guard. We're saved, but we're not safe yet.
No.
We haven't passed on yet. The Lord hasn't taken us on to glory yet, folks. It can be very dangerous in this world because we have human beings have a tendency to get lazy. They have a tendency to get careless. They have a tendency to find themselves just drifting along with no real power in their lives to be able to guide them in the direction that they ought to be going. Just drifting along, but I still got my testimony. There's a lot of hindrances out there, folks. Jesus told the disciples one place. He said, beware of the leaven, didn't he? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, or the scribes and the Pharisees, he said. Folks, there's a lot of leaven out there today. There's pretty much out there whatever you want to believe. Whatever you want to bring, whatever suits you, you can pretty much go out there and find it today. But we don't want that, do we?
No.
He said, Paul said that the day would come when they would heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. We don't want that.
No.
We don't want that.
Lord.
We shouldn't be satisfied with just hearing what we want to hear. But eating strong meat to grow to perfection, that we might have our senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That's Hebrews 5:14. Paul said, have your senses exercised that you might be able to discern between good and evil.
Yes.
Some people expect the pastor to look out for them. Some people expect the preachers to look out for them. Folks, we need discernment. Discernment's at a low ebb right now.
Yeah.
We need discernment, folks.
Yes.
We need to be able to see when the wolf is coming in.
Yes.
Yes.
You think the wolf is not going to try to come in?
Yes.
Yes, he is going to try to come in. We need to be able to discern what's right and what isn't right. And if it's not right, we need to get it out of there.
That's right. Amen.
We need to get it out of there. Because our souls are important. Our souls are precious, folks.
Yes.
You know, you can mix just a little bit of error with truth and it can sound pretty good.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It can sound pretty good. Just put a little bit of error in it. Well, some people, you can do that and they'll just go right on and not even catch it.
No.
Well, I tell you, you let that go on for a while and it'll be a hindrance to your soul. It'll be a hindrance to living a holy life. We need discernment today. Not a mind that's focused and filled with the things of the world, but the mind of Christ. Some folks say that preachers shouldn't preach on things.
Mm-hmm.
You ever heard that?
Yeah.
But I read over there in 1 John 2:15-16, he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world.
Yeah.
I'm of a mind to believe that maybe we've let down a little bit in our generation because the ones that's coming along behind us don't know the things that they need to beware of.
All right.
That are out there traps for their souls.
Yes.
You know, I look at it this way. If there was a tarantula spider walking across that altar bench there, you could take a little toddler to walk up there and see that. It'd be fascinated with it. It'd probably try to reach out and catch it and grab it. Now, you take me, who's pretty much terrified of spiders, and I'm not going to come near that thing. Senses sharpened. Discernment. Understanding. To know what evil is. To know what's there to threaten your soul. To know what is there to hurt you. To cause you to be lost.
Amen.
See that little child? They don't realize it. Whether they realize it or not, if that's a black widow going over through there or a brown recluse going through there and it bites them, it can be very dangerous to them, can it? It can do a lot of damage to them. It can even kill them.
That's right.
Amen. Snake, anything like that would be fascinating to a little toddler. They don't know any better.
No.
But God told Aaron, don't drink any wine. Don't drink any strong drink. When you come in to worship me, I want you to be able to discern what is holy and what is not holy. Saints, the Lord wants you to be able to discern what is holy and what is not holy.
Yeah.
He wants you to be able to discern sound doctrine. What is sound doctrine? Well, soundness. You know, if you go and you got a lot of money, if you happen to have a lot of money and you want to go put it in a bank, you don't want to put it in any old bank. You want to put it in a bank that you know that's going to be there for a while. You want to put it in a bank that you don't think is going to be folding in a couple of months. You want a sound bank that you can put your money into. Folks, soundness among God's people. We need some soundness among us.
Yep.
Something that is solid. Something that is strong. Something that will endure.
That's right.
Something that will endure.
Amen.
Folks, there's things coming. This young generation today finds it very hard to believe that things ain't always going to be what it's always been in this country. Can't you see it coming?
That's right. Amen.
I saw a picture of a gas station sign out in California. $4.83 a gallon. Wow. I don't know what it is down here yet. I haven't seen any. Pardon?
Not far from that.
$4.83. There's $3.59 up my way. $3.59 a gallon. You say, well, what's that got to do with anything? Folks, let me tell you, it's just the beginning of sorrows.
Yeah, just the beginning. That's right.
It's the beginning of sorrows.
Yes.
When you go to the grocery, you paying more for groceries?
That's right.
Than you used to pay for?
Amen.
You're paying more for everything.
Everything.
What you used to pay for.
Yeah.
The paychecks are getting smaller. Our pensions and Social Security are getting smaller, and prices are going up. Every time something happened, what happened with Libya? You see, the gas went up because of what happened over in Libya, the other side of the world. We better be able to discern the times that we live in. And through it all, and I believe it with all my heart, that we are to live a holy life.
Yes. That's right.
We are to live a holy life.
Yes.
He wants us to be sharp. He wants us to be on our toes. He wants us to be alert. He wants us to be on our guard. Why is that? Because Peter said, be diligent. Because your adversary, the devil, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Well, I've been saved for 48 years. I don't have to worry about that. Yes, you do.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, you do, folks. Let me tell you. Because he's right there behind you. You know that scripture that said, lay aside every weight and that sin that so easily besets you? He knows what your besetting sin is. He knows that thing that will trip you up. He knows that thing that is a weakness to you. He knows that thing that he can introduce. It may be 25 years down the line.
Yes.
But he knows how to trip you up.
Yes.
If you don't have some discernment. But if you get drunk on the cares of life and the things of this world, folks, chances are he's going to get you. He's going to get you. Well, we're warring a good warfare, I hope. It's a warfare. If you're saved tonight, folks, you're in war.
That's right.
Well, they call that when they sit down at the tables to try to avert a war, they call that diplomacy. They send some diplomats over there, you know, and well, let's see if we can just talk this thing out, get this so we don't have to go to war. Let me tell you something. You can't use diplomacy with the devil.
That's right.
Devil doesn't understand diplomacy. Because he's already at war. He's after your soul.
Yeah, that's right.
So it isn't no time to try to be nice about it and good about it. And I don't want to hurt this and I don't want to step on that. Folks, you better step on the devil.
That's right, sir.
Because he's after us as a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. He's doing it, folks. He's doing it.
Yes.
On our toes. Hey, try to give you another little analogy to help you understand what I'm trying to say tonight. How many talking about the drinks? God told Aaron not to drink wine or strong drink. How many drinks would you like for someone to have that was going to drive your children or grandchildren somewhere in a car? How many drinks would one of them have?
Zero.
None. That's precious cargo you got there. Why don't you want them to have one? Because you want them to be alert, don't you?
Yes, amen.
You don't want them to be driving down the road texting on their cell phone. You don't want them to try to beat the train at the railroad track. You want them to keep their eyes on the road and on the traffic on what they're doing, don't you? Because they got your children and grandchildren in there. You don't want them to have any drinks. You want them to be alert. You want them to be sober.
Amen.
That's what I meant. Yes.
That's right.
When we take a drink, we are just one step away from the enemy taking advantage of us. When I'm talking about taking a drink, I'm talking about all these other things that I've been mentioning tonight. We're just one step away from the enemy taking advantage of us. The things of this world, the things in our society, the things that appeal to the flesh. I mentioned entertainment. I mentioned the fashion. I mentioned... No, I didn't. I didn't mention the sports, did I? But oh, I'm telling you, that has really taken over this country. Do you know that if you will look at history, one of the reasons why the Roman Empire fell was because of their lust and desire for sports and entertainment? Yes, it was. Folks, when we get our minds drawn away and focused on these kind of things, we're being drawn away from God. We're being drawn away from the life source. The only one that can give us the strength and the grace that we need every day. When we get focused on these kind of things. Time wasted. He told us to set our affections on things above, not on the things of all this earth. It's going to take all the grace that we can get from God. And He's got it. He told Paul His grace was sufficient. But it's going to take all the grace that we can get from God to keep holy or to live holy in these last days. And it doesn't matter who we are. Preacher, right on down, or you right on up. We've all got to do it. We've all got to work at it. We're a target. You see, just one drink. You don't want that person drinking having a drink before they take your children somewhere. It just makes you one level easier target for the enemy souls. God said for He wanted them to be able to distinguish. What does it matter? I mean, what's this going to hurt? What's that going to hurt? You'll find out. The adder will bite you. And then you'll know. But it may be today. We, as God's people tonight, are in grave danger if we lose the ability to discern, to distinguish. The lines are being changed. Sin is not sin anymore to a lot of people. Things that we would consider sin, not sin anymore. People can do things today and not even blush about it. Consciences have been defiled. Yep. Consciences have been seared. People can go out and do all kinds of things today because of drink, drunkenness, the cares of life, and the things of this world. I'd like to close over here in Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter. And in the 23rd verse, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and the precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Now God is talking to them, him here, and he's saying that the prophets have done this kind of damage. Let me ask you a question tonight. When it comes right down to it, For when I stand before God to give an account of my life, can anyone in here keep me from making heaven my home?
No.
Prophet or no? Can anyone in here keep me? Am I going to be able to blame anyone? Well, it was the prophet. It was the preacher.
Nope.
It's so-and-so. If so-and-so would have done this or that, I wouldn't be here right now. I'd be ready to go on. Not going to be able to do it, are we? We're all giving account individually. I only have to give an account for myself. I don't have to give an account for you.
No.
But these people here lack something. The prophets would not have been able to do that if they had had some discernment. If they hadn't been drunken on the things of the world. But the prophets come in the midst like a roaring lion, ravening the prey and devoured souls and taking the treasure and the precious things and made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests, that's what we started with tonight, Aaron, the high priest, have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. The priests. They lost it. They weren't able to distinguish it anymore. The holy and the unholy. The clean and the unclean. They put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. But remember, in our opening text, God said that you teach these for generations to come, even down to you and I today. But folks, you see here, the devil got it. The devil got it. Because they were careless. He said, her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. And her prophets had daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. You know, there's a lot of walks of life, a lot of jobs, a lot of professionals out there, tradesmen out there, a lot of things that people do in this life. But when it comes down to handling God's eternal word, prophets, preachers, teachers ought to tremble in fear.
Amen.
I'm telling you.
Amen.
Ought to tremble in fear to handle something as precious as this. This is a holy book, isn't it?
Right.
This is the holy book, folks. And it came down, and that was just one experience. How many times were the people led astray? How many times? And the preachers here come along and daubed it with untempered, saying things that God said and God didn't even say it. Now what does that mean? That means you better have some discernment, folks.
That's right.
You better have some discernment. Now, I might have said this before, but I'm going to say it again real quick. You folks have the right. And it ought to be that you can come in a worship service and feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
You have that right. And you also have the right to sit and be able to listen to the Word of God and hear nothing but the truth.
Amen.
Nothing but the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth.
Yes. That's right.
Not someone's opinions.
Amen.
Someone's ideas, but the truth.
Yes. That's right. Amen.
You have that right. But I've already told you. Wolves. Talked about the wolves. Things that come in amongst.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, you better have some discernment. You better be able to discern between the holy and the unholy. The things that are clean and the things that are not clean. Why? Why is that so important? Because your eternal soul depends on it.
That's right.
Your eternal soul depends on it. May God help us tonight. I tell you, in all my years of living, I've never seen the devil working so hard. I've never seen the devil working so hard to destroy a soul. To destroy us all any way that he can. He's working right now through discouragement so hard. People that have been on the mountaintop, I don't know, for many times in their life, people I've known for years, been on the mountaintop and discouraged today because of some little battle or trial that they're going through. Better have some discernment. Better have something on hand, folks. And your faith better be such as, well, that's what the church teaches. That's no good.
No.
That's no good.
That's right.
Well, that's the way I've always been taught. That's no good, folks.
Amen.
When the floods come, that ain't going to stand.
Amen.
Jesus said, when I come back, will I find faith on this earth?
That's right.
And he wasn't talking about just faith and trust in God for the healing of our bodies. He's talking about having faith and trust in God.
Amen. Yeah.
Completely, genuinely, totally.
100%.
That's right.
Will I find faith? What you need, now you folks here tonight, you believe some things, I know. But you better have something beyond belief.
That's right.
The Lord told Peter, he said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this unto you.
Revelation.
But you got a revelation. You need a revelation, folks.
Amen.
You don't do this because Brother Clay said, do it.
That's right.
You do this because God spoke to your heart.
Amen.
And put a conviction on your soul.
Amen.
And said, this is the way, walk in it.
Amen.
And every time that he does that, I promise you, it will be the way of holiness.
Amen.
It'll be the right way.
Amen.
That's what you need.
That's right.
And every one of us can have it. Every one of us. He will lead every one of us individually.
Mm-hmm.
If we'll follow him that close. But you know what? Got to live close to him. Got to live close to him.
Yes.
Got to be able to hear a still small voice.
Amen.
That's right.
So busy and so drunk on the cares of life that I don't have time to hear the voice.
Yes, yes.
May the Lord help us tonight.
Yes.
Hindrances. Oh, there's a lot can be brought out about it. I want to tell you, the Lord wants you and I to be able to discern between what is holy, what is profane, and what is not. That profane. May God have mercy on us tonight.